Hello.
Hey, Tanya, it's Dan. How's it going?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Not bad. Thanks for giving me a couple of minutes.
No problem.
So, you've been real outspoken on a lot of subjects, which we'll get to, but first I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your career. You obviously you played for Tampa there in the early 2000s when they weren't very good, but nevertheless, I mean, you got to be an opening day starter there for them. Obviously, they had success later on in the decade. Was that just in when you were there, was that just a situation where you guys were a young team, the organization was still young, they were still trying to figure things out, or was that a team that just didn't have a direction at all yet?
No, we weren't young at all. We had a lot of old guys.
Well, yeah, I mean McGriff,
Together,
Mako.
we had probably the oldest team out there, I would think, with Fred McGriff and Greg Vaughn and Gerald Williams, John Flaherty,
It's a
Al Bavo.
staff.
We had a lot of older. We had a lot of older guys on the on the on those teams there.
But your staff was young, was it not?
Yeah, we were very young. When someone went down, definitely. And I don't know if that hurt us or not, but I think we started getting more picks. You know, you got to remember those expansion teams at the time, in the very beginning, those expansion teams all took a big hit. I think the Tampa Bay team tried to do it a little different and buy a lot of older veteran players and put a lot of money into it, and it just didn't work out.
I mean, obviously, Tampa had a history with attendance problems. You were there firsthand. Do they need to be
Brutal.
relocated? Do they need to be relocated?
You know what? I think, to be honest with you, the stadium underneath is unbelievable. The field is horrible with the, you know, with everything hanging down from the ceiling and you can't see the ball and pop-ups and stuff like that. But underneath, locker rooms, everything like that is probably one of the top five in the league in all of baseball. It's amazing underneath. I think they would get more people if they moved it up into Tampa somewhere. St. Pete, a lot of people don't want to drive over that bridge to get down there to the game because they know they have to go back over the bridge when the game's over. So I don't know. I mean, I think they would be better off in Tampa area, drawing people, definitely.
If they obviously they've gone back and forth with the city as far as trying to relocate somewhere in Tampa, it hasn't worked out as of yet, and their lease isn't up, I think, for another decade or so. Do you think a move to Montreal would be beneficial for both parties?
Well, I mean, you gotta remember, Montreal didn't have people in it when they were there, so
Well,
it's
that's my
kind of.
point. I mean, it's like everybody bangs the drum for Montreal to get a team, but that was the exact reason why Montreal lost it in the first place.
Right, exactly. So I don't see why they would bring it back to Montreal if they're gonna move them. If they're gonna move them somewhere, I don't think. I mean, listen, Montreal's a great, great, great city. I mean, you know, it was always great for guys to go there and play, but it's the same thing. I mean, you have 2,500 people at a home game, not really worth it. And it's really tough to get up for that game when you know there's nobody there and the bleachers are empty and you can hear the guy having a conversation with his girlfriend in the nosebleed sections.
Do you think Major League Baseball would ever put a team in Vegas?
I think they should. I think NHL is probably going to be the first one to go there. Is that correct?
It would appear that way. They seem the most open to not only putting a team there, but also working with the betting aspect of it, which I think is what shies most of the major sports from even attempting it.
Why does the betting shy them away? Going out should shy them away. It doesn't close. Some of the guys would never go home. You know? I mean, it doesn't close down. You can drink all night long till the sun comes up
I hear
in Vegas. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about the gambling part. Listen, if everyone, you know, no matter where you're at, you can still gamble on baseball, whether it's in Boston or it's in Las Vegas. You can still gamble on it. I don't see it being any different.
I think it's the perception that scares the suits, is that, you know, if we, you know, almost put our flag down in Vegas where it's so openly accepted, we've kind of, you know, it seems like we're joined at the hip, and that's a perception that they're afraid to almost pony up with.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, listen, I played AAA in Las Vegas and loved it. I mean, I had a great time there. It was hot as hell, but, I mean, you know, you got used to it. But people were excited about the team there. Everyone came out. They loved the baseball. And I don't know. I liked it there. I think they should really look into having a team there. I mean, it's a great city. I mean, it's one of our great cities that we have. We should have a sporting event there.
I'm in agreement with you. Obviously, as your career went on, by 04, you were traded to the Yankees, were a part of that team. You were also a part of one of the, I'll put benchmark moments in recent Yankee Red Sox history with the A-Rod, with the A-Rod Veritek incident. Just walk me through what happened in that, because it went from a drop to an explosion.
Yeah, well, it had been building up. They kept hitting A-Rod and kept hitting A-Rod. You know, I think then finally the last time he got hit, I think he just had enough. And him and Veritek had words. And then once they started going at it, the bottom of the pile is not a nice place to be. So there's a lot of things that happen in the bottom of the pile. And, you know, Alex was on the bottom. And as we come out of the dugout and get there, and you just pretty much grab the first person you can see and grab. And whatever happens, happens after that.
So, I mean, obviously you come out blood and everything all over the place. I mean, obviously that wasn't the intention when you jumped in.
No, it wasn't really the intention when I jumped in, but I didn't really care that it happened. I wasn't looking to not get into the middle of it. You got to remember that it's different back then than it was now. After they beat us in 04, I think that a lot of things have changed on the hatred between the two teams. You know, I really didn't like those guys. I didn't even like playing against them. And not that I liked a lot of people that I played against. I didn't really like anybody that I played against, but that the way the fans were and the way everything was built up. Listen, I don't care what anybody says. There's not a better rivalry. Well, let's say it wasn't a better rivalry than Yankees Red Sox before 04. I mean, it really was a great, great rivalry that people really went all out for the whole series.
I think right there in that 04 to probably 06, 07, that was, at least in recent era, the height of the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry, probably.
Right.
You recently...
Yeah, I mean, you know, once they get that ring and they kind of, you know, all that, you know, the curse of the Bambino and everything starts going away, then you got to remember, before that it was forever and ever and they couldn't break through. And it was always the Yankees beating them, so it just kept pounding it and pounding it, making it worse and making it worse. So then when you win one, it kind of takes away, you know, a little bit of the stress for everybody in the stands.
you recently came out on Twitter when Salta LaMafia got DFA'd by Miami and basically said that you weren't surprised. Nobody likes throwing to him. You know, he can't hit. Obviously, there's got to be some insight here between you and Salta LaMafia. So give me the background here.
No, listen, there's not much between me and Salta LaMafia. Salta LaMafia called up when I was in Atlanta. It had nothing to do with that. The way the tweet was they were saying there was a big decision for the Marlins, and I was just saying, how is it a big decision for the Marlins? He's there to hit. He can't catch. He's not a good catcher, so he's there to hit. If he's not hitting, then how is it a tough decision? You know? I mean, it wasn't in my mind, it's not a tough decision because everybody knows he's not good behind the plate. He can't throw anybody out. He's horrible at calling a game, but he can hit. So if he's not hitting, what good is he to the team?
I guess
that tough of a decision for the Marlins.
I guess most people were surprised because it was only like a month into the season and they had just signed him.
Yeah, and that's what a bunch of people said to me. They said, you know, he has a big contract. It's a month into the season. Listen, I have friends on that team. I have friends on that coach that team. I have friends in that organization. Sometimes it's not all about stuff that's on the field or why people get taken out of a team. You know what I mean? Sometimes everything else goes around.
Hey, I trust you. You're in the dugout and locker room a lot more than I've been. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when he was in Boston, how many people, you know, some guy wrote me on Twitter and he said, everyone loved throwing to him in Boston. How could they love throwing to him? He didn't play in the World Series. David Ross played in the World Series, and he didn't throw anybody out. He never threw a base runner out. He was the lowest catcher in the league, wasn't he?
Close to it. I'm not arguing with you.
You know, how do you say that everyone loved throwing to him? If I got a guy behind the plate that I know can't throw anybody out, I would hate throwing to him. The guy made absolutely no sense when he tweeted me that. I was like, what are you talking about? David Ross caught, what, four out of six games in the World Series? Salamaki had, you know?
Well, and Ross was definitely going to get multiple because Lester wasn't going to throw to anybody else.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, when the guy wrote me that, I was like, what are you talking about? No, listen, personally, you know what I mean? Salamaki, not a bad kid. I know him. I know him a little bit from being in Atlanta. But when you're going to come out and say it's a tough decision for the Marlins when he can't get a hit, and that's what he's there to do is hit because they know he's not going to catch, why is it a tough decision? Make the change. Bring the young kid in and let him try it. Everyone tries to dance around everything in MLB. You know what I mean? MLB, everyone tries to be politically correct. It's crazy.
Is that one of the major problems with major sports today is that we don't have enough athletes that are willing to be open?
Well, I don't think it's just the athletes. You got to think about it's a lot. You know, listen, if you're getting paid a lot of money, obviously you're going to have a lot more chances than the guy that's not getting paid a lot of money, correct? They have an investment in you, you know? But, I mean, come on. If that investment's not paying off, what do? Say it's a stock. You get rid of it, correct? You don't keep it around and see if it turns around. No. That's how people go broke.
It's funny because I just talked to the president of the Hall of Fame, Jeff Idelson, earlier today. And you were pretty vocal when the recent electees for the Hall of Fame came out, basically saying that, you know, it pretty much went down how we thought, you know, but you think that, well, hold on, let me get your quote here. I think this group had some guys in it that definitely took something along their career to help their production. And if that's the case, we need to open it up to others who are suspected of the same. Are those suspicions? Do you have inside knowledge? I mean, I'm just trying to get where that came from.
Well, why didn't Craig Biggio get in last year? Why was it this year? Because everyone said that he took PEDs last year. Now all of a sudden he didn't take PEDs, so he's in the Hall of Fame. So why isn't Barry Bonds in? Why isn't Roger Clemens in? Why these guys are all suspected of taking it too? No one's failed the test. Does Roger Clemens have a failed drug test?
Because
some people say that they took it, or Canseco says he shot him in the ass with a dart or something like that, that we just believe everything. So all I was saying was, if these people are getting let in that are suspected of it, we have to let everybody else in. I think they all should be in anyway. I don't care what anybody took. It doesn't mean crap. I can go shoot 12 kids in AAA right now, and they can't hit the home runs that Barry Bonds hit. Won't happen. Oh, they can't pitch like Roger Clemens. Everyone thinks they're like this is some miracle drug.
Well, I was going to ask you. I mean, you played in, you know, in the middle of the era. I mean, I don't know what, if anything, you saw, but I mean, everybody seems to make accounts as if this was this wide-ranging wildfire prevalent in every clubhouse. Was that the case?
I never saw a thing. That's why I don't understand how people can say that they saw these people taking that, they saw these people doing this. I never saw one thing. And if you had enough time to sit around the clubhouse to see somebody doing something, then obviously you're not taking time to do your job. Because if you're not working out, if you're not watching film, I mean, obviously I wasn't as talented as all these other guys, especially the guys that are going into the Hall of Fame. So I had to probably work harder than they did. So I was always in the gym, or I was always watching film, or I was always doing something. I was never had time to sit around to see if someone was taking steroids. I mean, it's the most ridiculous statement I ever heard people say that.
What about you went to Twitter, and like a lot of people, including me, everybody was blowing up Chris Bryant before, you know, he ever stepped into a batter's box. Did you have this major problem like everybody else that he wasn't on the opening day roster?
No, I don't even know this kid. I don't even know what he can do. Who cares if he's on the obviously the Cubs wanted him to go down to AAA to do something. Is it financial? Who knows? It's been going on forever. Guys going down because they don't want their time to come up to sign a big deal. That happens all the time. My big deal was the kid hasn't even seen a pitch in the big leagues yet, and everyone's trying to give him the Rookie of the Year trophy.
Well, why do you think then? I mean, is it just monetary? I mean, you were a player. Obviously, you were part of the Players Association. I mean, the Players Association threw up a big huff and puff about the Bryant situation more than we've seen the Players Association throw up for any player in recent history.
Yeah, I think that stuff has been going on forever. So maybe they have more insight on the car. I have no idea. You know, whatever. If the Players Association put up a stink, then something had to go on, because the Players Association always have our back and we always have their back. I mean, there's nothing, no question. So then something must have went on. My whole thing on my Twitter was that this kid hasn't even seen a pitch in the big leagues yet, and we're trying to make him out to be, you know, Rookie of the Year. First day he gets called up, what did he do? He went 0 for 4 with, what, 3 punch-outs?
Yeah, I was going to say he's got one home run so far. And like
how long has he been up now?
And I think his strikeout ratio was 1 in every 3 at-bats, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. To be in the big leagues is not easy. Because you sit in the 30th row and think that it's that easy, it's not easy. Come on down closer and see how fast the ball is going and see what people are doing. People are getting paid to get hitters out. Hitters get paid to get hits. It's not easy.
What about, obviously you were a pitcher, what about Tanaka? Because you seem like you didn't think Tanaka was going to make it far at all this year. Obviously he got, you know, not even through the first month before he's not shut down completely, but he's had an injury. So, I mean, is Tanaka just wasting time here and avoiding the inevitable without getting the surgery?
Well, they said that it wasn't his elbow. So, I mean, if it's not his elbow, then, you know, he's not wasting time. Didn't they say it was his wrist or something like that?
Yeah, this time they're saying it's – but, I mean, I'm sure you know as well as I do, sometimes teams will say it's one thing and it could really be the other.
Listen, you got to understand, the last thing that anyone wants to do, especially a player or a pitcher, is to have surgery. I understand everyone comes back from Tommy John and they throw harder and they're better and they're this and they're that. The last thing a player wants to do is have surgery. You don't know how your arm is going to react after a surgery. Everybody is different. So do I understand him putting it off? Of course. Do I think if he's really hurt, should he have it done? You know, I think he should really think about it. Obviously, I'm sure he has great people around him that he thinks about you know, what am I doing here? I can't waste another year. It really, I mean, last year was what? I mean, how many starts did he get in last year?
20-something, I think.
So, I mean, 20-something starts out of 35 in a year is pretty good, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was everything that they thought, that they hoped, and probably more than they had hoped he would be last year until, you know, he had to get shut down for, what was it, the final month or so?
Yeah. Well, final month, were the Yankees in it? Were they going to win anything? Were they close?
Well, now.
Yeah, so what's the point? There's no big deal in shutting them down then. You know,
right.
We're not really losing that. Then, if he's sore, what's the point? If we're not going to go to the playoffs and you're not going to win, shut him down and get him ready for this year.
I understood exactly what they were doing last year. It was that, you know, shut him down, let him throw, see how it responds, and then base everything off of that. I understand your point, too, is no pitcher wants to go under the knife. No pitcher wants to lose, you know, a year, you know, and not everybody responds well from Tommy John. I mean, look at Jared Parker. He's looking at his third Tommy John after what happened the other night with the broken bone in his elbow. But I guess my question to you is that if you're a pitcher and you know that you've got the torn ligament in that elbow, you're throwing, you know how it feels, and now maybe this wrist injury is in correlation to compensating for the elbow, because Tanaka, you know, has already said that he's tinkering with the way he throws because of it. You know, are you only hurting yourself further by delaying the surgery?
Might be. I mean, none of us will be able to know because we're not him. So you got to remember that every pitcher has a little something wrong with them. So not everybody's feeling great out there all the time. You always have a little something. Sometimes you have something, and if that's gone away and you feel too good, sometimes you're crap, you know, because you don't have that. You don't know where that arm is because you don't feel that little pain that you always have all the time. So I can't tell you whether he's wasting time or not. I mean, he's the only one that can answer that, you know. But if it's his elbow and he's waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, it takes a long time to come back from Tommy John, right? What, 6-7 months?
Usually they're not on the mound again, at least, you know, in an actual game for probably 12 to 14.
And so, I mean, even if he went and did it now,
so if he went and
he's
did
still
it
not
now,
making it back for opening day next year.
No, if he did it now, you'd look at him probably around All-Star break next year. I mean, it's really similar to the Jose Fernandez situation. This is around the same time that Fernandez went down last year, and all the talk is him coming back around the All-Star break this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I for me as an ex-pitcher, I would wait and work out and do as much as I possibly can, as long as I possibly could. That's a long time. It's a long time to miss. It's a long time without throwing a ball in competition. It's not easy.
Especially for a guy like Tanaka, who, even though it's his second, you know, major league season, he's been a professional for X amount of years, and he's a lot older than most guys would be.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about that, because I just look at the player as the player. I don't look at age. You know what I mean?
Well, hey, age is just a number. If you can still do what you need to do. I mean, look at Bartolo Colon.
Amazing. You know, it was like him, too, with LeVon Hernandez. I couldn't believe it. Both of them were unbelievable. Unbelievable that they're doing that. But, yeah, Tanaka, I don't know, man. I can't, you know, that's him and his team that have to decide that, you know. When you see somebody go down like that last year, it's not easy when that ligament's barking. You know, you got to do a lot of work. You got to be in the gym constantly. You got to be a complete gym rat. You know, Make sure everything else is strong around it.
All right. So there are a couple more for you, Tannen. I know you're obviously a big sports guy because you tweet about a whole bunch of different sports. I know you're getting into the hockey right now. I know you watched the Mayweather fight. You seem to be of sort of the minority where you were like, you didn't, I don't know if you had a problem with the fight or not, but you seemed like you didn't, and that it was like Mayweather fought his fight, you should have expected it, and that was that.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought the fight was so boring, just like everybody else. But Mayweather, every Mayweather fight is boring. I mean, I didn't know what did people think that like he was gonna knock Pacquiao out, or I mean, Pacquiao
Yeah.
wasn't gonna knock him out. That's for sure. You know?
No, I think what happened was I think because this is the first quote unquote super fight that boxing has had in what, 2 decades maybe? What, Tyson Holyfield was probably the last one, something like that. I think
Right.
people because they heard the word super fight, expected this huge drag out brawl out fight, and instead they
Yeah.
got a hug fest, which listen, I'm not naive to think that they were going to just go in, throw bombs, and somebody was going to knock each other out. But
Right.
also,
Mayweather never does that.
no, he doesn't. But I mean, boxing is in the sense I'd like to see at least a punch thrown here and there.
Yeah, well, listen, he landed some punches on Pacquiao's head, but I mean, and then he was gone. You know, I mean, that's just his fight. Listen, it was boring. I went and expected it to be boring, and it was boring. But I mean, everyone's like bitter at Mayweather because, you know, he goes in there and fights his fight and wins. I mean, if you ever watch a Mayweather fight, it's what you should have expected. I mean, it's not like he surprised anybody. You know what I mean?
No, nobody should have been surprised. So what are you watching now? What sport are you into now? Is the hockey the
Hockey,
big
my
thing?
man. Hockey. Hockey.
I'll say, is there a
Are you kidding
specific
me? How about
team?
the Rangers series, brother?
Well,
I
hey
mean,
man,
it's unbelievable.
I'm a Ranger fan, so you don't have to tell me.
Oh, you guys had to be going crazy last night. Unbelievable.
Hey, last night was definitely a roller coaster. Thinking you got it, but that. I mean, for you, obviously you've been watching, so you know the Rangers just can't find a way to not play a one goal game.
I know it. I know it. Listen, when it was 4-1, I had a bunch of buddies from New York text me. I go, man, get your tickets for Game 7. And then all of a sudden, goal, goal. They start texting me back, you jinxed us, jinxed us. I was like, no, I didn't jinx you. I said, but I mean, come on. You know, you don't expect Lundqvist to give up that many goals in a game ever.
Well,
You know,
here
you
you
get
go.
three against Lundqvist, you're doing work.
That's true, although a couple were a little fluky, but nevertheless, you still got three. But here, you're an athlete, okay? And you've been in playoff series, so I want to ask.
Was an
Oh,
athlete.
okay. I'm trying to help you out here. All right. But let me get your view on this, okay? Literally 10 minutes after the Game 6 loss from Washington, they've lost now 5 and 6, as you know. Ovi stands up and says, "We're winning Game 7. We're going to play Tampa Bay or Montreal." You like that? You want him to say that, or you want him to just be quiet and focus on Game 7?
No way. Let him do it, man. That guy's a beast, man. Did you see that hit he gave McDonald last night?
Yeah, McDonough turned the wrong way on that one. Scared me a little bit.
Oh my God. Did you see how fast he got that got going on his skates after he shot that puck? Unbelievable. He's a beast, man. Let him do what he wants. Listen, if Derek Jeter after Game 6 loss said, "Listen, would I guarantee us tomorrow?" Would anyone say anything? Nope.
So is it because of who it is? So okay. So Ovi says that you're a
Oh yeah,
beast.
listen, if I said after Game 6 in the 0-4 series, I said, I guarantee us to win tomorrow, everyone would laugh. They wouldn't even write it in the paper. Are you kidding me? Of course it's who says it.
Okay, all right. So I just want to make sure I got you clear. Ovi saying that was good. Kuznetsov then coming out this morning and saying we're winning Game 7 because we have the better goalie. Kuznetsov should shut up.
I don't know if he should shut up, but I mean, you know, I don't know. You know what? I like that goalie in Washington too, though. I mean, he's good. He is good, but he let up some crappy goals last night too.
First goal was very indicative, in which he basically gave, I don't think he expected the shot to ever come because he gave up before Kreider ever shot the puck.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was surprised to see him give up that goal. But, no, man. And then the Anaheim game went to overtime. Did you stay up late for that one? Because you got to stay up late for the West Coast game, right?
I got to get up at 7 o'clock to take two kids to elementary
school. So do I, but who cares? You still got to watch the game.
That's
that
what
unbelievable.
That's what I got a DVR for.
Hey, you know, being on the East Coast, we don't get to see those West Coast teams too often. Dude, that Getzlaf guy is massive, man. He looks so big compared to everybody else on that ice.
Come on, you're going to tell me you don't have the center ice package? You've never seen the Ducks play?
I don't watch it. I don't watch West Coast. The only time I see him is come playoff time.
Okay,
no, I watch East Coast guys. I watch the East Coast hockey. I'm a Bruins fan anyway.
Okay, so you're just piggybacking off everybody else
fan.
Because there's actually playoff hockey going on.
Oh, yeah. I watch the playoff hockey. I love it. I'll watch hockey during the season, but I'll watch Bruins game. You know, I won't watch these other teams during regular season. Playoff, listen, I don't think there's anything better than playoff hockey, brother. I'm dead serious. I think playoff hockey is probably the tops in all the sports when it comes to playoff time. Because it's awesome.
I agree.
I get fired up every night. I love it.
So wait a minute. You're a Bruin fan. Are you a Patriot fan too?
I am.
I'm a Patriot fan also. All right. So you know I got to get your take.
So don't try and throw Brady under the bus right now. Don't even think about it.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking your take.
I have no idea.
I don't know
anything about football and what happens with the balls and stuff like that. I could care less. They ran the ball for how many yards in that game?
Hey, I'm not saying that a ball affected anything. When you win by that many points, I don't think a ball affects anything. But I'm saying, okay, word on the street is he's getting 2 to 3 games.
Oh, I heard the word on the street is that he had to go play for the Jets for a year for his punishment.
Now, that's a good punishment. I'm not a Jet fan, so I don't care.
Oh, so you're a Giants guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Listen, man. I don't know. All that stuff, I have no idea. I don't understand what goes on with the footballs. I didn't even know that the guys had their own ball. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that the teams. I had no clue. I just like watching the sport. I like watching the guys play. I think Brady's awesome. I don't care what he's throwing. He can throw a Nerf football out there for all I care. I don't care.
All right, I know you got to run, so I'll give you one more here, and I'll let you go. Obviously, when Wainwright went down, you know, all of a sudden we sparked this huge DH debate again, you know, about, you know, should the DH be in both leagues? You know, I know you were primarily an AL guy, though you came to the NL there later in the career. You're a baseball guy. What's your – I mean, I hate the idea. I don't like the DH to begin with, but, you know, if we're going to have it, keep it in the AL. You're a player, you're a pitcher, you know, do you think it should be uniform throughout, or do you like it the way it is?
No, you saw my tweet. My tweet was, I love having the pitcher half the bat. It's great. Why not have a difference of leagues? I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that we have different stuff going on in the leagues. I mean, I like seeing the difference. I mean, As an ex-pitcher that had to go into the batter's box once in a while, hated it. Absolutely hated it. I had absolutely no chance. I think I had one hit out of like 40 at-bats or something like that. You know, we don't have a practice in the American League. You don't ever see pitchers except for the week before.
Isn't that the problem? Is that, you know, when you're going from high school, college, where you're swinging every day, to then going into the minors where it's practically all DH? You know, that you go X amount of time without swinging a bat, that by the time you go to swing a bat again, you know, it's like you kind of forgot.
I don't think you forget. I mean, look at Tim Hudson. Tim Hudson still rakes. He can hit. Look at those guys that can hit. I mean.
Well, yeah, I hear you. There's.
I think in some of the minor leagues you hit. I think if it's national against national in the minor leagues, you hit.
I was gonna say there's here and
I
there.
I think
where
you'll
you
have
still
to
get.
you'll have to check that out. You'll have to see.
I think there's still a few places, but for I a majority now is DH oriented.
Yeah, listen. I think it's great that the leagues are different. Because listen, how fun is it at the end of the year in the playoffs when they got to do American League has to go and hit? I mean, it's great.
Well, hey, I hear you. You heard it. I mean, you tweeted when it happened. I mean, everybody jumps up and down because Wainwright got injured in the batter's box. But you being a pitcher, tell me if I'm wrong. That injury he got, he could have gotten. In any situation, he could have gotten coming off the mound, run, you know, covering first,
right.
You know,
going to field a bunt, anything.
That is a fluke injury that just happened to happen in the batter's box, which has now sparked a debate that is unnecessary.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you 100%. Just because it happened there, brought it up. I think that's going to change. I mean, who knows? Who knows the way they're changing so much stuff? I mean, we can talk about that another time, but you know that the play at home plate's really killing me.
Do you hate the new rule that there's no more plate collisions?
Hate it. I understand why they did it and it protects the catcher. Of course it does, but I mean, come on. You know, with having to have to be able to slide to the bag and you know, I just saw D. Gordon the other day. Run into the catcher and say he didn't have a place to slide. You know, I mean, it's just getting to be a little too much, I think.
And there you go. There's another rule that we made because of an injury to a star player, and
right.
An injury that
because of Posey, right?
Yeah, and an injury that wouldn't have happened if he was in proper position.
Right, and it had nothing to do with it. I mean, how many times have people been run over as catchers? And nothing ever happened. The guy in St. Louis, the manager, he was probably one of the best guys I ever saw block the plate. Mike Matheny was by far the tops. He was awesome at blocking the plate. You know?
I think about
always,
the only
all through minor leagues everything. He was awesome.
I think about the only person we may be able to find that likes this rule is Ray Fosse. I think if he could go back and not have Pete Rose steamroll him, he'd be okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're probably right. All right, we'll do this again, my man.
All right, Tanya, thanks for giving me a couple of minutes, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Okay.
All right, have a good one.
Later.